Welcome to episode number 6 of Unfiltered, and Steven decided to actually show, so it's pretty nice of him to actually come on.
I know, I try.
But I thought you were having technical issues, so it wasn't your computer after all, right? It was something else.
No, what would I have technical issues with?
I don't know. Didn't you build your new computer recently?
Yeah, like over last night-ish is when I kind of did it.
Okay. And it's pretty great?
Yeah, it's freaking amazing, dude.
What video card do you have in it?
The video card sucks. It's a GTX 580. I was gonna buy a Titan, but I'm waiting for the 700 series to launch. The GTX 580 is okay. Sorry, I didn't mean like it sucks, like, but it's okay. But the 700 series is rumored to launch in mid-May. I'm really excited for that because the GTX 780 is pretty much like the equivalent of the Titan, and it's like half the price. So we'll see what.
580? God, I thought you were looking at things much bigger than that, but okay.
Yeah, well, the rest, everything else is really cool, but I took the graphics card out of my last build because I don't want to buy one yet until the 700 series launches, if that makes sense.
Okay, that's cool. Let me tweet this real quick, and we'll get started. Do I even have a... Okay. Alright, so what should we talk about? Okay, so let's talk about Shoutcraft America. You know all about Total Biscuits tournament for basically only NA?
I read a little bit about it.
Okay, cool. Well, it's about to get started. Actually, I think today is the cutoff. I think everybody's trying to get into top 16. Oh, people that are actually NAers, you know, residents, are trying to get into the top 16 on the NA server. That's kind of the parameters of qualifying. Mm-hmm. And kind of wanted to just talk a little bit about that. Like, what do you think about just the tournament in general and the timing of it, and then just how to qualify? You know, that basically having to be playing the ladder. I mean, that's pretty much what everybody's been doing like the last 72 hours. I think is powering ladder.
Did he announce a prize pool for this?
Yeah, so it's a $10,000 prize pool, 4,000 first, second place 2,000, and then third place 1,000, and it goes down from there. And
do you think Blizzard paid him for this at all? It's kind of weird to use the ladder.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, but Blizzard did announce that they were allowing tournaments to be, allowing tournaments to be held. I don't think they put a $10,000 limit on it, but apparently Total Biscuit has made it sound like there is some kind of $10,000 prize pool limit. But right when they announced that, Total Biscuit announced the Shoutcraft America. So I have a feeling there was some kind of timing or discussions kind of there, but anyways, yeah, so prize pool 4,000, and you know, one of the things that you had mentioned before is if there was any kind of like WCS NA only type of stuff that you might consider doing it. What if this kind of thing became regular? Would that change your thoughts on that StarCraft at all, or no?
I'm pro any tournaments that are region locked. I'm pro for that because that's really good for the local scene. Whether it's local to Europe, local to North America, local to the United States, you know, whatever. I'm always pro those kinds of tournaments. I don't know how I feel about using the ladder necessarily as a way to do that. The way that it works in StarCraft 2 is if you're good enough to be top 100 Grandmaster, you're probably good enough to be rank 1 Grandmaster. It's just a matter of playing games.
Yeah.
And I don't mean playing enough to get good enough to be rank 1. I just mean it's a matter of grinding out enough games. In my current state of StarCraft 2 fitness, I could rank higher than MC on the ladder if I were to grind enough games to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's just how the ladder system works. If you play more games, typically you gain more points over time and you'll be rank 1. So I don't know how I feel about using the ladder as a determiner for...
Yeah. I mean, there are some notable... I mean, I'm showing the showing kind of the current rankings, I think. I think these were updated as of the beginning of today. And, I mean, you'll see some notable people missing from this that, you know, should be on there. Like, Idris not on there right now. He's, like, just out of it, I think, right now. There's a better one. Let me look for it on Reddit. There's actually a better one that shows it. Where is it? These lists have been updating, like, every hour. Where is it? I thought there was one earlier I was looking at. Okay, I don't see it now. But anyways, yeah, so like Idris not on here, Huck's not on here. But you know, the a lot of the folks that are on there should be considered the top 16. So how competitive do you think you'd be with them? I mean, like QXC, Ghost User, Masa, Maker, Kitty, Minigun, Hendralisk, Leia, State, Suppy, Kane, Drunken Boy.
I don't see anybody here that I couldn't take a game off of, but I don't think I could do well. I still haven't played enough to feel comfortable enough to enroll like in a tournament here. Yeah, I wouldn't see myself winning a series against anybody. I could probably take a game or two. I don't know. Some of these names are a little iffy. I don't know.
right. I know one of the big names missing is Scarlett, which I talked to her, and there was some kind of arbitrary rule. Well, it's not really arbitrary. I mean, I kind of understand the rule, but basically you had to play on your quote-unquote real account. You couldn't play on a barcode account that you owned, obviously. So, unfortunately, she's like top 10 on her barcode account, but I don't think she has any wins on her real account, so that's the reason that Scarlett's not in this right now. But anyway, that should be starting soon, and, you know, it's a true region lock tournament, so that's pretty cool. And the finals, I think, are going to be at the MLG studios in New York. And so, so I guess that'll be kind of cool, an offline finals.
One of the cool things is it's also a bigger incentive, I think, to the players to stream. I think it would be kind of interesting to watch.
You think so?
Yeah, just grinding the ladder games.
Oh, grinding the ladder games.
Well, like, cause you know that they're fighting for that rank.
Yeah, that's true. But wouldn't stream cheating be an issue then? I mean.
I don't know. Yeah, you'd have to, like, install a delay or something, but I would assume that most of the people trying to qualify wouldn't stream cheat. Maybe that's a bad, especially if they were streaming. But yeah, like, I mean...
You never know, man. When you're on 17 and you're, like, trying to get up to
16... It would be interesting to watch somebody, like, if the countdown is coming, like, 2 hours from now and you see the guy streaming trying to get that rank on the ladder, it'd just be interesting to watch, you know?
Yeah. Dude, zoom in your camera, man. You're, like, only getting, like, half of your...
Half of me? What do you mean?
Like, there's, like, a lot of wasted space there.
I don't know how to zoom in. What do I do?
Just move your camera down just a little. You don't have the... What camera? You got the 920, right?
I've got the 910, man.
I thought you bought a new computer. You didn't even buy a better...
I'm waiting for the 921, bro.
My goodness. Here comes another chip in for a freaking... for another freaking camera. do you know how to zoom in? If not, it's fine. Just leave it.
I'm not okay. Will you call me a chips?
All these people want to see your lovely face. There we go. Move your camera down a little bit. There you go. You can do that in the settings too, man. The camera quality is so...
Are we happy now?
Yeah, it's all right. Camera quality is still crap. I don't know why, but...
finished. I don't know why. I'm going to blame you.
Way too close. Come on, that's not bad. Okay, so I don't know. Anything else to really talk about NA Shoutcraft? I guess that's about it. I just kind of want to see what your thoughts were.
Historically, Total Biscuit has done pretty okay doing little tournaments like this, right? Like, I remember he did a long time ago. I remember he used to do those little tip jar tournaments.
Yeah, and this will have tip jar too. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Those are really cute. So hopefully, I mean, I can't imagine this would go horribly. I mean, Total Biscuit seems to have his shut down pretty well.
Yeah, he was calling, I think they were calling 50K concurrence kind of over-under type of number. So 50K would be pretty darn good for a non-major event or just an online event for the most part, right?
Yeah,
that would be pretty amazing. And so, yeah, we'll see how that goes. And, you know, I definitely hope it goes well and there's more because of it. That'd be really, really great. And, one of the things Total Biscuit made it clear, too, is that, you know, he's kind of the knight in shining armor in this kind of scenario, right? But he's made it clear that it's a business move, too, you know, just to really, you know, take advantage of the segment that nobody's in right now.
And, maybe. You know, I still think it's a knight in shining armor thing.
Yeah, it probably is. I mean,
the whole Axiom team is kind of that, you know, knight in shining armor. I'm going to dump a whole bunch of money and hope for the best. But I don't know, I guess we'll see. I hope it has a good turnout, because, I mean, a lot of people have a lot of stake. I mean, really, I am so tired, man. I stayed up fucking all night putting my computer together. It's so sexy, but I'm sorry.
Why did it take so long, dude?
It's because it's my baby. Like, I spent so much.
Are you stroking it and stuff? I mean, what are you doing? You're like stroking the fan, dude. Like
this case.
I mean, what the heck?
Cool. Everything was so cool about this. I'm sorry. This tournament could wind up being like really important. Because a lot of people kind of have a lot of stake in this tournament, you know, like all the people that argue that we need NA only tournaments and we need region lock, blah blah blah. Well, if this tournament has a really shitty turnout for viewers, you know, then maybe Blizzard was right and not region locking NA, and it was okay to have the Koreans storm everything because nobody cares anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But if it has an amazing turnout, like if it does get 50,000 concurrent, then like that would be a really, really, really good message. Like, hey, Total Biscuit with just $10,000 and his own online bullshit, just recruiting people from Ladder, got 50,000 people watching a 16 player tournament. Like, that'd be really big, you know?
It would be, but without Idra, without some of the big names in it that, you know, because of whatever reason or this qualifying method, mm-hmm. it's going to be harder to get that. I mean, you know, Idra minigun, you know, obviously that worked out really great for that MLG show match, but if Idra's not in it, this at all, I mean, you're taking away potential viewers for sure. And, you know, if he can make it work with the roster I'm looking at right now, that would be impressive. That would be crazy impressive.
It would almost be interesting. I don't know. I'd have to think about it a lot, but it'd be interesting to only invite the top 12, and then to have four invites that are voted on by the community. You know?
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I think that's true. Oh,
so they do top 12 invites, and then they could vote between like 20 players. Like, they could list like all the EG and Liquid guys, whatever, and the people could vote. You know. Yeah.
Actually, somebody's saying Excessive is saying that Idra is in, so I know he's on the cusp. So that'd be great.
According to the Total Biscuit website, Idra was like 26th or something. So I mean, like, he's there. He's close.
Let me see. It's a Shoutcraft site, right? Shoutcraft. Let me see this. Shoutcraft. Is it Shoutcraft America or just Shoutcraft? Let's see. Let me see here. Yeah, it's just changing constantly. Obviously, it's kind of a cool thing. It's kind of exciting to have something like this. Something dynamic like this that we're just tracking constantly, but we'll see how it what the result is though. Does it show? It doesn't show who's currently in here though. Oh well. But yeah, so hopefully I wish them the best, definitely, and I'm definitely gonna be cheering whoever on during that tournament too, because I want it to work for sure. Okay, am I blind? Is it somewhere in there? Maybe I am blind. Shoot. Anyways, okay, let's move on. Next topic is kind of a crazy topic, which is we're going to talk about the whole racism in esports and around. More like racism around esports, more so than in, because, the Caldor came out with that video yesterday, right? Just about Korea and, whether it's racism or not. I mean, he talked about kind of his challenges and experiences with maybe the older generation of in Korea and just how they've been treated as Americans and just non-Korean. And, there was another follow-up article yesterday, too, that's just kind of explaining a little bit of just maybe some of the culture over there from, I think, a European, I think he was. I thought it'd be pretty cool to talk about just, what we think of racism. And is racism really prominent, or are we confusing racism with something like xenophobia, which one of the community members posted on our Reddit thread.
Well, racism is kind of a form of xenophobia, no?
I think so. I think xenophobia might be just a general, just kind of a general version.
I think it's the same. I'm going to make like a really broad sweeping statement. I've heard a lot of the things in Korea. I didn't experience things too much when I was there. We went to a few restaurants and whatnot, but for the most part, I seemed like I got along okay with the StarTail guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I have heard a lot of stories and a lot of people, like I talked to 91 a lot when he was down there about different things. I think that most places that you go, that whole like globalization thing like really hit our generation super hard. I don't think I've ever met or heard about large groups of people like in the 19 to 25 age bracket that are super xenophobic or racist. Typically once we all, especially when it comes to something like esports, where we're all on the internet playing games and we're all like on the same servers and we're all exchanging the same memes and ideas and YouTube videos and the Gangnam styles and the nasty gifs and whatnot. I think that you wind up with a relatively diverse group of people that don't necessarily like focus on race that much. Usually when I talk to a lot of the guys that have stayed a long time in Korea, the biggest complaints that I hear about have to do with the older Koreans.
Yeah.
I've heard some crazy stories. Yeah, but like some crazy racist, like blatantly, openly, like will shout at you on a bus or something like you're
that's
white.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Man, I can't imagine that. I mean, that's just...
On the flip side, though, one thing and again, like, this is all things that I've heard from different people, so it might be true. Maybe this was only true in Incheon, which is where I was, and it's not true in Seoul or whatever, but I've heard that Koreans can be very wealth-centric and very, very focused on status and whatnot. That's why, like, the plastic surgery and everything is, like, among the highest there in most of the parts of the world.
What does that have to do with wealth? I mean, that's just looks, right? I mean...
Well,
I mean, right?
Really
that's
dumb,
superficial. I mean, that's nothing...
superficial, but yeah, but I know, like, if you're white and you go to, like, those booking clubs or whatever to pick up chicks or whatever, I've heard that you have a much easier time there being white because you're, like, exotic as fuck and people instantly assume that you're wealthy if
yeah.
you're white in places like
okay.
that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just, like, random stories that I've heard.
Okay.
But,
so what, people are changing their hair and changing their faces to look white? Is that what they're doing?
Well, no, I wouldn't go that far. I'm just saying that. I think most of the problems only exist in, like, the older age bracket. If you
yeah, I think. Uh oh.
Okay. And most of the places are. It's kind of irrelevant to esports, in my opinion. What?
Oh no, it was cutting out for a second. So.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think I think it's irrelevant to esports for the most part. I don't think that whole thing exists, and, like, because everybody that deals with esports is a relatively young person, you know, like less than 30, and everything that I've heard bad about Koreans is the older generation, you know?
Well, I mean, so what about, or how about this, you know, John's brought this up a lot of times, either offline or online, on Climbing the Ladder, where, you know, especially in StarCraft 2, we kind of have this, we almost have this kind of Korean centralized in a way of talking about people, right? We either talk about the Koreans or we talk about everybody else, which are the foreigners, right?
Sure.
In some ways, is that, you know, a little racist? I mean, whether it's racist towards us, you know, or vice versa, I mean...
I think at that point you get into semantics. Like, obviously, like, semantically it's racist because it's Korean versus everyone else, and Korea is a race, or Koreans are... I mean, like, I don't know. In terms of, like, does it actually contribute to, like, racist ideas or whatever? I don't think so. I mean, it's just the most accurate way to describe the scene right now. Like, it's pretty much like saying the professionals and amateur tier, you know? It's just the best players are in Korea right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think one thing that's associated with racism, too, is hate, right? And I think that's the biggest key is the hate part, and that really distinguishes it from other things. Because, you know, xenophobia is mostly fear. It doesn't mean you're actually hating on people, right? It's just mostly just being afraid of something.
Sure.
So, you know, one thing that they talked about in the Good Shot that was interesting, too, is that they felt that the production kind of favored Naniwa, you know, and you know, it helped. I mean, I think it ended up resulting in probably more viewership and that sort of thing. And what do you think about that, just that aspect of it? And, you know, again, kind of going down the route of Koreans versus foreigners again, and I guess they're playing on foreign soil, too. You know, they're playing in Sweden, right? Do you think that's unfair, you know, from a production standpoint, them doing that? Or, you know, it's or do you take the standpoint of more of it's entertainment, it's just whatever should be done to maximize entertainment?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of different arguments that you get into there, because that kind of sounds like the same arguments you can make for against, like, giving GSL seeds when they give a Code S seed to foreigner players, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They get, you know, do they deserve a seed if they can't qualify like every other Korean, you know, but is it worth it for the viewership? So I mean, I don't know, there's a lot of different arguments you can have there. You could say that no, like, the production should be completely and totally unbiased because... you know, that would be the fair way to do it, and everybody deserves whatever. Or you could say, like, well, it's okay for it to be 91-centric because they're trying to draw in as many foreigners watching as possible, so.
Yeah, yeah, I think, I think I agree with that, too. It's kind of similar, I guess, when you're talking about home teams and away teams anyways, you know, in other sports,
sure.
too, right? I mean, of course, the home team's going to get a lot of advantages, right? Just because that's just how they are, but... So when it comes to esports in general, I mean, definitely, I don't think in StarCraft 2 it's been so bad for sure. Is there any in League? I don't think there's an issue in the League at all either, right? I haven't heard anything.
I think for the most part, we're really globalized. Like the cultures and the everything mix so much when we're all on the internet. We all spend so much time on the internet. I remember literally walking down the fucking streets of Warsaw and and a car drives by, and a guy's blaring Gangnam Style in a stereo. Like, I don't even speak the same language as a guy, and he's drawn up in a completely different part of the world than me, but we still kind of, you know, like, have that.
Right.
I really feel like in all of the places that I've traveled, I've never felt like a stranger anywhere. I guess maybe that's not fair to say, because I'm Destiny, so maybe people befriend me because of that, but even going out to eat and whatnot, like, just hanging around other kids and shit, like, I've never felt out of place, even with language barriers. Like, even in Korean restaurants, and in restaurants in Germany, in places in Poland, I've never felt like, around younger people, I've never felt like, God, like, I feel so alienated, and everybody's like, blah, blah, blah. Whereas, with older people, sometimes I could feel that a little bit, but never with anybody, even my age or younger, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's true. I mean, a lot of folks definitely in the community, you know, of course, use, you know, racist kind of terms, but again, it's more for trolling, and I mean, it's not right. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not right to do it, but it's just, it's more from a trolling standpoint, I think, than from a hate standpoint, so.
I people have this, like, idea that I fucking, like, throw around racist words, like, every fucking day. I think I've used, like, three. I've used, like, two, even in, like, jokes, like, two or three, if I'm not, like, actually talking about the words. Fuck you, man. All right, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's true. And again, guys, you know, racism has a lot to do with hate, and, you know, a lot of people don't have that hate. You know, one thing that people, a lot of people bring up sometimes is the fighting game community, and just kind of, you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, just to be completely frank, there's a little bit of a connotation with the fighting community with the, you know, African American, you know, that sort of community.
They went the hardcore, dark, and edgy route. Those guys are all the same mindset that I had, like, 8 months ago. Like, fuck the world, I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I want, and no one can stop me. Like, that's the whole fighting game community has exactly that mindset. No MLG, no one else is gonna host our games, we're gonna do whatever the fuck we want, whenever we want, however we want, with whatever words we want, we're gonna fucking make fun of girls and black kids and everybody, and it's gonna be fucking awesome. That's, like, the fighting game community. Come on, tell me I'm wrong. Like, that's the fighting game. And they have, like, their whole scene, and that's cool and shit, but, like, they're so, like, we're fucking dedicated to being the dark and edgy crowd, and fuck the universe, you know?
I mean, I think they're getting better, but, yeah, I'll give you that. They're definitely, out of all the games, you know, all the communities, I think they're probably the most rebellious, or, you know, or not really rebellious, but just not really conforming to this whole business, you know, this business conversion of gaming, or this competitive gaming, right? And, they definitely done some crazy things, or caused a lot of controversy along the way, but I think they're getting better now.
Hold on, some guy said, LOL, you don't know shit about the fighting game? Yeah, but even knowing very little about the fighting game community, you see all the huge fucking headlines of the controversies and shit that come out of there. The issue with the girl fucking, I don't even remember, but, like, there are stories that are big enough that come out of the fighting game community because of, like, the racial and the sexist divides and shit, that even if you know nothing about the fighting game community, you know that they have these huge fucking issues. And you also know that fighting game communities won't sell the rights to their tournaments to, like, MLG or anything. Like, MLG, Sundance even said that he was trying to get more fighting games moving into 2012. He said he was going to try to secure more rights to get more fighting games, whatever, but nobody in the fighting game community was interested in it. They could never get anything working along.
Well, what's crazy is IPL, they nailed down Capcom, so, I mean, they seem to be open to you know, being part of these events again, but, you know, Capcom for a long time was missing, right? I mean, they were part of it, and then they were gone for a long time, so it was kind of a big thing that they were going to be back, and we were going to see that again. But I think we'll start seeing some more. I think we'll start seeing some more fighting games in MLG soon, particularly with all these leagues kind of owning their games now. MLG obviously has StarCraft, you know. But
right after I pick up Gigabyte as the main sponsor, I think.
Oh shit! That will be the day, man. That will be the day. There needs to be an overhaul of management over there before.
Overhaul and a rebranding of both parties. I would change my name to something else. They would change my name to something else, and then we would all work together. It'd be great.
So you would so you would never buy a Gigabyte motherboard.
Oh fuck, dude! The Z77 boards are sick as fuck. I hate it. I've used them in like three or four different builds because obviously the company burned me hard.
Oh shit! My electricity is flickering. Shit. Fuck. Shit. Uh-oh. You guys back? It was me, guys. It was me that time. Shit. Hold on. Let me figure this out.
The person whom you're trying to...
What the fuck? It was me. It was me, guys. Yo. Sorry, it was me.
What the fuck, dude?
My UPS isn't working too well upstairs in my router. And my electricity flickered a little bit there. I need to go figure that out soon. Alright, we're back. Sorry about that, guys.
I'm even more pixelated than before.
No, it's about the same, honestly. But okay, what were we saying here? Gigabyte. Yeah.
Their product is really good. They step their shit up. Their Z68 platforms were a disaster. Their Z77 platforms are fucking awesome. So, yeah, sorry. Go ahead. We're done talking about them.
Yeah, so anyways, so race, is anything other issues to talk? They were blowing through this subject. I figured we were going to talk about this for a while, man. Yeah, it's not really anything else that you guys have to talk about. We'll take some questions early here, see if anybody's in here. Only 240p. Somebody's calling out your camera being 240p, dude. Screw it. Okay, we'll just move on for now. We'll do some Q&A at the end of it. There's a lot of questions in the Reddit thread. If you guys have questions, by the way, just go ahead and post it in this Reddit thread here. Let me give you the link. And we'll try to read out every question at the end. So, But, okay, so next up, let's see, DreamHack. Did you watch DreamHack at all this weekend?
Nope. I hear a lot of people talking about it. I don't fucking know any of those guys anymore.
So you missed all? You missed Nanny getting into the finals and all that stuff?
Yeah, I got an owned. I heard about it, but...
Yeah, okay, well... Well, we'll be covering...
I saw the juicy, epic drama with the guy posting... With Nanny saying, sorry guys, I was in a really bad mood, I didn't want to sign any autographs. And then he posts a picture later of, like, Sasuke running around with his check.
I didn't even see that whole bit. I mean, I saw Sasuke running around with his check. Like, in some storage unit area. That was kind of weird. But, So didn't some guy take a picture of some guy with Lenox check in the airport or something like that? Something weird like that on Reddit? That was kind of...
Maybe, I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know, but... Anyways, great tournament. Hope you guys checked it out. We'll talk about it more on Climbing the Ladder this week with Robert Olin and the Gameheart guys. Have you seen the Gameheart UI at all?
Yeah, I've checked on it a few times. It's a long work in progress. It's almost like a year old, isn't it?
Yeah, he's been working on it forever, but it's...
Yeah, the guys are doing a lot of work on it and mm-hmm. shit.
Yeah, Ryan, you're starting to see it everywhere. I mean, everywhere except for WCS. So it's kind of cool, and... There's a lot of talk as to why, you know, like, what's going on with that. Like, why doesn't Blizzard want to use it for WCS? And
to use his product would be admitting their own product is bad, no? Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because part of what they worked towards in Harvest Farm was the customizable UI.
Yeah, but why don't they just hire him? I mean, you know, that's definitely an option, right? If he's doing...
Blizzard hire external help because they realize that their own work sucks dick? No, what the fuck?
Oh man, you know one thing. I know he you know one thing that he really hesitate or is has hesitations about is asking for donations, not asking for donations, but opening himself up for donations, like just giving out his PayPal address or his PayPal account. And you know, one of the I think what was number one on Reddit yesterday was just whether or he should be compensated. Somebody started a thread with that title, and What do you think about that? I mean, he shouldn't have any problems. I don't think he should have any problems taking donations, honestly. And I told him that, but he kind of thinks.
It's a matter of how you feel about a project. If I was in charge of working on a project and I had a full time job and I didn't know like how much I could give to it and blah blah blah, and I put out a decent project and a lot of people like it and shit, mm-hmm. then that's cool. And like I put it out, and if like at one point in my life I'm like, fuck, like I'm done with this, like I can't do anymore, it's just not worth the time, the effort, the hassle, like I just want to walk away from it and you'd be done, like you're done. Mm-hmm. But if you were doing that project and you'd collected like $30,000 in donations, walking away from it becomes a lot harder, because now it's like, fuck, like, if I leave now, what about the people that just donated, like, 2 days ago? What about a week ago? What about a month ago? Like, now I feel like I'm ripping those guys off by just taking their money and leaving, you know?
Yeah. Do you think there's a difference between, you know, just the very typical donation route, you know, which is basically just giving out your PayPal account, versus doing something like a Kickstarter?
Maybe. Crowdfunding seems like the way to go these days. So, I mean, a Kickstarter might be cool.
Yeah, but the Kickstarter... For me, the Kickstarter has to do with, like, a future project. Versus being compensated for what you've done up to today. I mean, that's kind of how I think about it. I mean, am I wrong in that? I mean, what do you think about that?
No. Sorry. Yeah, that's pretty much right. Oh, my God, I'm dying, dude. that's pretty much right. There's something. Oh God, it's like on the tip of my brain. Kickstarters. I think the term is, they're not supposed to be used to fund your lifestyle. Does that make sense? Like, if there's something that you're already doing in your free time anyway, you're not supposed to just start a Kickstarter to do something that you've already been doing.
That makes sense. That's kind of what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Like using like a Kickstarter to fund your lifestyle. I feel like that's like a quote from the Kickstarter or something. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's kind of similar to what I'm saying too. So sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, guys, I wish. I mean, it's like you can't even give him donations right now. It's like I wish Ryan would just, you know, open himself up to that. We'll talk to him about that. You know, hopefully you guys. I know you guys love GameHeart and have really been enjoying it. So we'll figure out a way for you guys to be able to, you know, help support him in your own way. Somebody was writing me something here. Oh yeah, so Team Liquid guys, yeah, thanks for that, dude. I just rebound the stream to the event. How do I like the headsets? Headsets are good. I need to switch over to the Krakens. I've just been lazy about switching over, so I'll do that soon.
For what? Oh, okay.
The Krakens, uh-huh. Your favorite company. But all right, why don't we start taking some questions, man? This might be just like a. People are calling for push-ups again, dude.
I'm so fucking tired. If I get down on the floor, I'm gonna fall asleep.
We might make this one a shorter show. Okay, let's go. How do we sort this by? Okay, sort this by new. All right. First off, E-Bag I says for both of us. Do you think people in StarCraft community will ever understand that growing esports doesn't have to start with dumping huge resources into the scene? You hit it. Let's see what you hit this. You hit on this a little bit, but it didn't seem like you were expressing yourself fully. Say, if 5% of the StarCraft 2 players give a shit about the competitive scene, a lot more of the vocal players, like, I guess, in control, seem to think the only way to grow the scene is to make the 5% a larger number. Say, 10%. Well, shit, a far more feasible thing to do is to grow the actual player base as a whole. So instead of 5% of 3 million players, let's grow the number to 5% of 5 million players. Your thoughts, and this is in response to some people saying that SE2 is becoming too easy.
I mean, the guy sounds like he's parroting all of my opinions, so I definitely agree with him. I mean, that's pretty much, I'm pretty sure I've said that stuff verbatim, so if he's looking to, like, circle stroke each other off, then I'll go ahead and stroke him off on that opinion. Good job, man. That was ingenious. Probably some of the best questioning I've ever heard in my entire life. Right on, brother.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I agree with it too. I mean, there's not much to really say about that. I think most of these sports agree with that. So while we're on the topic of racism, why not tackle, oh boy, sexism? Oh man. That's a whole another show. We'll talk about that. There's like a long ass post about sexism. Sexism is a whole different thing, guys, than racism. Sexism is definitely more of an issue.
Racism is just, like, in people's heads, like, that's not real. But sexism is actually true. Like, women just aren't good at video games. It's just biological.
Oh, shit.
I'm just kidding. That was like troll.
Here come the hate. Let's just look at it. Oh no, no, but the hate's coming about 10 seconds here. All right, first question from Moise Jif. I don't even know. Chalif. Historically, many esports grow out of popular games, but recently there have been a lot of games. Hello? Yeah, can you hear me? Hello.
Oh, you cut off for a sec. Sorry, I did. I don't know. Sorry, say that again.
No, I was going to say, historically, many esports grew out of popular games, but recently there have been a lot of games, mostly sequels, that were still unproven as being fun to play, even while a professional scene was being built around them, right after their release. StarCraft II is one of the main examples of this. What are your opinions about this trend? And secondly, is there a reason that Valve and Riot are not investing in an RTS esports game to rival Blizzard's? Is there no market for this? And third question, in case of Valve Riot making an RTS game, what if they would approach Destiny and ask him to be a community figure for this game? Would he consider this, and what criteria would he have?
Wait, what was the
first question is, what do you think about I guess a professional scene being built around sequels of games that were either popular or were already proven from a professional standpoint, like Brood War. His example is StarCraft. So Brood War obviously had the entire ecosystem was built around, esports industry was built around that game. And going into StarCraft II, there was already kind of an industry immediately built around StarCraft II, right when it launched, or even when the beta came out.
I think, you ever watch Breaking Bad?
Yep.
Really? How far are you into it?
I've only watched a few episodes. I don't watch it religiously. I just watch it from time to time. Okay, it's a great show. I need to catch up on it one of these days. But
I just recently started watching it, so we're going to use some drug examples, okay?
Okay.
So I think that a good way to do it is you have the guy that actually like does the drugs, like you're either cooking meth or growing weed or something, or making alcohol, right? Whatever your illegal thing is,
okay.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
And then you've got the guy that goes out and distributes, right? Okay.
Yep.
But then that guy has other distributors under him, and then that guy, and then those guys have other distributors under them, right? You know?
Okay.
So, like, in Breaking Bad, or I guess in some drug trades or whatever, like, that kind of grows organically. Like, the guy cooks meth, the main dude sells a little bit, but then as he gets more and more popular, he needs a person under him to manage the sales of drugs. As they become more popular, they need people underneath them. Kind of like a pyramid.
It's like a pyramid. It sounds exactly like a pyramid.
But okay. You understand that it's the demand that necessitates the people working underneath the other dealers and not the other dealers coming in first to create the demand. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sometimes with esports, it feels like we want to sink in a whole bunch of dollars into team houses and streams and tournaments to grow the fan base, when in reality what we need is the fan base to grow to sustain said tournaments. I feel like people have that backwards, but everybody in the entire industry does things like that, so I don't know if there's like some common sense thing that I haven't connected yet or that I don't understand yet. I don't know.
Well,
I see,
it's a pretty common thing to do in any industry, right?
That's just like speculating. It's not like actual real.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. I mean,
but it can be really damaging sometimes, I think. And at some point, you have to move away from that and take a look at like what do we actually fucking have. I wish that people would spend more time focusing on like the actual like base fucking shit for esports rather than signing players at ridiculous salaries that they're definitely not worth, and you like the crazy fucking. I don't know. I don't like dumping a whole bunch of money into something that hasn't proven itself as being sustainable. Like, that kind of bugs me. And it seems like we've been doing that for esports for a long fucking time. I wish that we would move away from that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times dumping in or investing, just to put it in a better term, investing money into things or esports is really
I've seen a lot of said investments, and they're not investments, they're fucking gamble money grabs. They're, I'm going to dump
same
fucking
thing. 50, investing
no,
and gambling.
Responsible investing and just like greedy money grabs where you just throw $15,000 or something to see how it turns out, and then when it doesn't turn out how you wanted to, you're just like, oh, fuck that, and you up and leave. I think there's a big difference between that and responsibly investing in something, you know?
Well, I mean, I think you're oversimplifying them just throwing money at something. There is some due diligence done. I mean, I mean, you're making it sound like they're literally just some guys just writing a check and not, you know, like some rich guy just writing whoever a check, like Sundance a check, and not, you know, there's like no data or anything to kind of back it. I mean, they are providing some kind of data.
How long has MLG raised capital for its tournament thing? And you said that the first time they were in the black was this most recent year. So it took, what, 10 years? How long has MLG been around? 10 years to become profitable?
Yeah, but it's 10 years, but there's been investors for 10 years. I mean, like, they're not gone.
Yeah,
like, why aren't they gone then?
I don't know. I don't know MLG's investing situation, but I know, like, in my relationships with Quantic, and looking at how some of the other tournaments go, it just seems really, I don't know. That's just like a personal thing. Like I said, I mean, like, maybe you're right. You're probably right because everybody does things differently. But that really bothers me.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people share your opinions. It's just I'm open to either because there's a lot of situations where it is correct to, you know, kind of invest more money into it and kind of accelerate the process. You know, if there is this end goal that we can see.
Like, you need the viewership to do that, you know? Like, imagine if I... Like, it almost sounds like... Imagine if me... Like, the equivalent would be me 2-3 years ago when I got my first paycheck from Justin TV. It was for like, $211.18, okay? When I got that paycheck, it would have been, like, me running out and buying a $5,000 computer and getting a $400 a month internet connection to stream. Like... It's fucking... Like, what would you say?
Kind of.
If I were to do that, what would you tell me? What would you tell me if I do that? And then I would go, dude, no, trust me. Like, it'll pay it off. It'll pay off, like, eventually. Like, it'll be good. Like, no, I'm going to go out and I'm gonna spend, like, crazy fuck tons of money. I feel like when you do that, then you just run into situations where you set yourselves up for these little bubble pops, and then everybody's like, well, fuck, what happened? You know, like, last year when the MLG price pools didn't go up as much as we wanted, or when IGN got taken over and then they reevaluate all the assets and, like, holy fuck, like, IPL doesn't make shit for money. We're dumping this immediately. Or, you know, like, I don't know. Stuff like that bothers me. Stuff like that bothers me a lot. I don't like stuff like that.
You're the type that wants to work within his means. I mean, that's...
What?
You're the type that wants to work within your means. Like, you want to spend the money that you make before...
Either work within my means or see, like, some real fucking growth. Like, as in, like... You know, I'm pretty sure that that's going to be there in X years, and I'm going to fucking do it. Like, I think that my decision to switch to League was one that was founded on a lot of thought and a lot of reasonable thinking, you know, regardless of fanboying, blah, 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 blah. And I think I made a good decision there based on real information. But then you compare it to, and I fucking hate to name names, okay? And I hate, I'm not going to do it that much, okay? But you look at things like Quantic, who spent, like, fuck tons of money with no plan on return, or even, like, as much as I fucking love them, like, the Root House, like, do they really have any plans to make that profitable? If they get that house, are they really going to generate enough money to keep it sustainable when a lot of the players won't even play that much, you know, or don't play that much? Or look at, like, the Ministry of Wind or all of those gaming houses, like, how much money are you dumping into that? And I saw the finances of the Ministry of Wind, like, they're, like, in order for them to become sustainable, like, the numbers, everybody just came in, like, fucking expecting this exponential growth, and we still play off of it, you know? Like, it's gonna happen. Like, there's gonna be some magic switch that's gonna flip, and holy shit, like, the profits are rolling in, you know? Total Biscuit and sponsoring Axiom, like, he said it several times that he's not making money off of Axiom. Well, then that's more of the same, isn't it? You're just dumping money in. That kind of stuff bothers me. I understand it doesn't bother everyone. That's just my personal opinion.
No, I think every business should have a viable strategy to make money, right? I mean, I agree that investments, I mean, it shouldn't be philanthropy by any means. I mean, you should have a clear plan, and the end goal is to make money. Like, no matter what your passion is, I mean, you have to make money. I mean, or else you're not doing business, right?
Yeah.
So,
but making money is a good thing in so many ways. Yeah. It legitimizes your business model. It shows you what means you can or cannot live out. It shows how much you can show real fucking worth and value to other kind of sponsors, or have a real presence in the market, or do real budgeting that doesn't rely on charity or sponsorships, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's true. I mean, a lot of success these days has to do with that. I mean, that's one thing that sometimes I think a lot of folks... you know, in esports and just other industries like ours, you know, kind of struggle with, because it's like, you can be as, you know, you can have like a team, you know, like you pull out Quantic, for instance, right? You can have a team, and you can have all these players, you have this management staff and everything, and it kind of looks like, you know, it looks like you're successful, but in reality you're not, because you're not making any money, right? So that's kind of what it comes down to a lot of times. And, you know, a lot of these teams that we see aren't making money, and I think probably almost all of them are not making money, honestly.
Yeah, so even EG's not profitable, according to the dude on Reddit, for what that's worth.
Yeah, but EG's different. EG just keeps, I think, reinvesting what they make. So, I mean, if they just sat there and stopped reinvesting, I mean, they'd definitely be, you know, profitable for sure. So they're just continually to build that with the money that they're earning. So they're, you know, they're definitely doing well. It's just, you know, who knows what their end of the year numbers look like, you know, because of their spend. But yeah, so I think I'm kind of similar in your regards, where I'm not the type that's just going to throw money into stuff, but you know, I've seen a lot of folks do that. I mean, like for instance, like I work in the mobile industry, right? And you know, it's standard knowledge that when you launch a game, you dump a shitload of money into ads. And you know, you don't know if your game, I mean, you've only tested your game on a certain amount, you know, it's a sample size, right? You don't know how your game's going to actually, you know, if it's going to be super popular amongst the, you know, the masses, right? So, but everybody has to dump, you know, an X amount of money to at least have a chance. And it's kind of similar in that regard, you know, in this case. It's just, I think in esports, like your example with Twitch, you know, you by going and buying a machine, it has a lot to do with the infrastructure. Like Twitch wasn't really, you know, Twitch wasn't as big as it is now, you know, at the time, I think, when you're making that decision. So, of course, you're not going to go and buy a $5,000 machine, but, you know, you buying a machine that's going to do 720p, you made that decision, that incremental decision at some point, right? Yeah. Whenever.
What about, like, when your tournaments are getting, like, 50, 60,000 viewers and you're not even running in the black, and then you, like, you start running out places in, like, Las Vegas to host your tournaments in, like, IPL's budgeting.
Okay,
like,
all right, sure.
Seems,
sure.
Like, kind of ridiculous, yeah, no? Like, yeah. Fucking scale it back. Like, where are we really at? Like, let's take a minute to, like, see, like, where are we really at right now? Like, how much money do we really have to play around with? And,
yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that IPL is overspending in that regard, but there's no doubt. There's lots of places cheaper than Vegas, for sure. Vegas is probably one of the most expensive places, I bet. But okay, let's see what another question is here. Oh, that was only question one, right? All right, question two. Why don't you think that Valve and Riot are investing in RTS? I guess it kind of follows, you know, like Blizzard's investing into a MOBA, right? Like, that's what they're building right now. Why isn't Valve and Riot doing the same thing?
I don't know. Building another RTS would be hella hard. RTSs aren't as fun as MOBAs, and they lack the team aspect. I don't think anybody wants to build another RTS from the ground up. It seems like a really big challenge.
Could they even compete against StarCraft? I mean, StarCraft's brand is so strong, and even Warcraft, right? StarCraft and Warcraft brand are in the RTS segment is so strong. I mean, even CNC is gone now, and I mean, what else is there? I mean, there's Tribes.
Does Civilization even count?
There's what?
Does Civilization even count as an RTS?
No, that's not an RTS, is it?
Not really.
It's more of a single player, I think.
Yeah. Is there multiplayer Civilization, Civ 5? I don't know.
I mean, you can play multiplayer, but I still think of it as more turn-based, you know, single player. Age of Empires was definitely viable for a little bit, but they kind of screwed that game up.
Civilization is turn-based, sorry.
Yeah. Company of Heroes. Yeah, Company of Heroes is not bad, but there's just no esports built around that at all. But, you know, I guess more of the reality-based RTS, there's maybe a place for that, but so the third one, would you, if Riot or Valve approached you to kind of lead this community for a new RTS, would you ever consider it?
It's kind of crazy. I don't know, dude. That's like a hard question.
That's like
if I got paid enough, if the game was good, and if the people who were behind the company were dumb fucks, I wouldn't mind doing it.
Guys, if you have any questions, post it in this Reddit thread here. Let's see. I think racism, sexism, and general hate will always be around when there are so many people who are so young. I don't think that community will ever grow up emotionally.
I disagree with that.
I think they physically need to get older. Younger kids and also have nothing to offer but their views. Young professionals, however, they tend to have money that's not from their dad's wallet. That would be a nicer demographic to try to get for both of those regions. So the question is, do you think the average age of the viewer will ever rise to the 20 to 30 mark? Or will SE2 ever be a family... Will SE2 ever be a family-oriented esports? And this question by Flight of the Dodo.
That guy is like 19 to 21 years old. He's in college. And he still gets everything paid for by his mom and dad. I guarantee fucking to it.
There's, all right. Are you in the chat, Flight of the Dodo?
The worst problems in all of society, if the top like 3 to 4 generations of people were to die off right now, we would make more social progress than we've ever made in the history of fucking mankind, I guarantee it. The most racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, and anything phobic people are always the oldest people. It's just a fact. I don't know why. I don't know if you like lose the part of your brain to like learn or develop new ideas.
Well,
as
you do. You do lose that.
But I don't believe that. That's bullshit. I understand.
You do to a certain extent.
I mean, yeah. It's a thing, but
yeah, it's biological.
Like, the fact that if you're raised racist, like you have to be racist your entire fucking life. Fuck that.
Well, the funny thing is I think our demographic. I mean, I think our demographic right now falls in somewhere in that 20 to 30 range. It's
Sure. I'm just saying that there are racist and sexist people at all levels, and like the problem is old people are sexist and they don't even realize it, and you like couldn't even make them realize that a lot of the shit that they say is like insanely fucking sexist, you know?
Yeah.
Like the idea that like a woman should never have to work, and once she has a baby, she stays home all the time. Like there are some older people that would defend that notion. Like my mom would defend that notion, and she doesn't even realize it's an incredibly fucking sexist thing to say, you know? So I don't know if I necessarily agree with the idea that by making all of the fans older, we would become less sexist and less racist. Like, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. That's just my opinion, though.
Of course, it's your opinion.
Yeah, that's my opinion. I said it, right?
Yeah, I think... I think maturation is important. I mean, we're talking about teenagers. Of course, you know, maturing, there's always some benefit to that. But, I don't know. I think the demographic right now is in that 20 to 30 mark. So, I mean, you're either talking about, you know, these people getting even older into the 30, 40 range, like my ass, or you're talking, you know, or I'm not sure what you're referring to there, but definitely for sure, like Steven said, the our parents' generation is way more like, you know, prone to these type of things than,
The baby boomers.
Yeah, exactly.
The entitled generation. Oh my God.
Seriously. Okay, next question. Let's see. Oh, they're asking about Tribunal. Tribunal will be next week, guys. I just want to save it for that. let's talk about Maximus Black and... Uh-oh, we lose him? Shit. God, this is just like the technical issue episode, man. This is the technical issue... technical issues episode. Let me fix this. But yeah, somebody's bringing up Thomas and Pi and Maximus. Oh boy, that's all right. Let's get him back on here. Where is he? Where is he? Huh? Don't know where he is. Let me try calling him. Yo.
Holy shit.
I know, man. We're just having, like, all these damn technical issues today.
God damn.
Start up that cam, dude. All right, there we go. Okay, let's see. What's next? Okay, so, Chan Destiny. In popular MOBAs are RTS, many times you will run into players who don't speak the same language, such as Brazilians, Russians, and Dota 2, or League of Legends. How should we go about bridging the race of or language gaps, or breaking apart negative stereotypes during the 30-60 minutes we have to spend with this other individual or set of individuals.
I mean, in League of Legends, the ping system works fine.
The what system?
The ping system. They've got it to you. There are like four or five different types of pings that you can do so that you know like what the ping is for.
Oh. Oh, really? Okay. I mean,
honestly, I don't know why people... See. Yeah, that's cool. But I don't know why people complain about people being a different language than them on a game like League, because 99% of the things that people say are just fucking raging and being a dick anyway. Maybe they're like sad that Brazilian people don't know what faggot cocksucker means. Like, honestly, like, why do you even care what language they speak when you're probably just raging 99% of the games
that's
anyway?
True.
Like, nobody...
most of the chat is just worthless anyways, for the most part.
MOBAs are really, really, really bad.
Actually, some of the funniest chats I've had are with people in China on League of Legends when they're actually trolling me or just like trolling somebody who's really bad on our team. That's actually some of the funniest chats I've seen. Vice knows what I'm talking about. Vice Conroy in the chat. I forget what it is, Vice, but you remember what that... Oh, I can't even remember. He was playing with me that night. It was so freaking hilarious. We're worthless? I don't think you're worthless. What do you mean? All right. Let's see. What do you think the best thing that League of Legends has going for it right now?
The amount of fans it has and the fact that Riot is really, really, really attentive to the game.
Yeah. I forget where it ranks. How does it rank with the... from being the most popular game... PC game in the world right now?
What, League of Legends?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it is. At least in the Korea PC bangs it is. Outside of Korea, I can't think of any other game that's more popular on the PC.
Outside of Korea? I mean, I know World of Tanks is huge in Russia.
Yo, check this picture. It's relevant.
It's not the most popular game for sure, but it's huge. What picture? Oh, boy.
I linked it to you.
What the hell is this?
Let your stream read it, man.
Alright. Let me see this.
Oh, you can't ruin it. You gotta zoom up to the top, man, and let him read the panel
by
panel.
I did. Here, okay. I'll zoom in, jeez. Who made this? Oh my god. All right. That's pretty good. All right, let's see. What's the next one there?
It's sad, dude. Holy shit. This is like the average MOBA game. All right, sorry.
It's serious nuance. It's probably true. Okay. Do you feel with the internet being a ground for anonymity that you will only see more and more racism in gaming as a whole? I think you're going to probably have less and less anonymity as we go in game. What do you think? I mean, I actually think that our real life personas will be more and more connected to our games.
The problem is that being anonymous and being not anonymous both have such huge, massive drawbacks that it makes both of them really shitty alternatives. Like, they're both really bad, so I don't even know, like, what's the better way to go. I don't know, man. It's
What's the cons of it being your real persona?
The cons of being a real persona is the lack of privacy. I don't want a screenshot to end up somewhere of Stephen Bonnell saying something, and all of a sudden my employer finds it on Facebook or something. You know, like, obviously I'm not a good example because I'm fucking famous as shit.
It's only one extra degree right now. I mean, they could look up Destiny
and
know it's you.
If your name is like, for your name, like, say like you were like Ching Chong Warrior 6969 XXXXX, okay? And you were to go into Dota 2 or League and, like, kill people, and, like, those screenshots show up online, like, it doesn't... Nobody cares, you know? But then when you're, but now if it's like actually like your name, Jackie Chan or whatever, and then your employer goes to Google
Jackie Chan, all right, thanks.
Yeah, because they want to know what's up, and then they Google it, and they're like, wow, Jackie Chan calls people, you know, fucking wetbacks and spics when he's playing on the Brazilian servers and leagues, and he posts it for fun. Like now, like all of your real life information is all of a sudden connected to all of your shit, and you're like, fuck. That's always been like a classic argument against real life.
I mean, okay, so it's easier to find. It's not like you can't do the other. I mean, if somebody's out to get you, they're going to get you. You know, it's...
Yeah, but you got to be careful with that. Because it was in our lifetime, yours especially... Not that you're old. I'm sorry, that's not real.
Okay.
Bad. But, like it was in our lifetime to where if I were to bring back the information that I have today about how Google and Facebook collect data about you and sell it to companies for advertising and take it back not even 10 years ago, people would probably say that you're a kooky conspiracy guy. Like, you would be, well, maybe not 10 years ago. Fuck, I'm old. Like 15 years ago, because I'm 24, so when I was 9. Yeah, like 15 years ago, people would put you in the same boat as people that say, like, you're going to, like, we never landed on the moon, you know? Like, oh, look, like, there's Crazy John again. Like, he says that, you know, those guys never landed on the moon. Oh, and there's his friend, you know, like, Downey David, who also says that in the future, Google and Facebook are going to have servers big enough to actually collect every piece of data about anybody they want for free, and then they're going to sell it. Like that'll ever happen, you know? But, like, it has happened, and we're at the point where, like, Congress is writing legislation saying that your job can or cannot, you know, demand to have a password for your social networks. That's just, like, a larger thing on your...
I mean, look how it is in Korea. I mean, dude, you can go to jail, right, for some of the things that you do. Even in games, I mean.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. I think you have to sign up to, like, when you go to make a StarCraft 2 account in Korea, you have to sign up with the account with your social security number. Holy shit.
I know. Downey David for president.
You've got all of that negative stuff. Like, do you really want your real life name to be associated with every fucking thing you do online? Like, does any company have the right to know all of that information? Is that fair? But then on the other hand, anonymous people are total fuckwads, and being anonymous, you know, brings the fucking worst out from everyone, and then you don't know whether you can trust anything, or, like, if I go to the lolgens, or the STV threads or whatever on VG, and I've got people talking shit, like, I don't know if I should believe any of it, you know, like, this guy is saying, like, Protoss is really fucking imbalanced and sentries are OP as fuck, like,
yeah.
I don't know, it's just an anonymous dude saying it, the guy could be a Gold League shitter. Or it could be, like, a GM guy. Like, I don't fucking know. But, like, if I see Naniwa or Sasa, somebody posts, you can get a little bit more credibility. But then, on the other hand, you know, the credibility can be bad sometimes, too. Like, if Destiny goes online and he starts arguing investors are underpowered and then a bunch of people agree with him just because he's Destiny, my opinion might not be right just because I'm relatively good at the game. I could just be biased, but now everybody agrees with me because, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's pros and cons to both. There's huge pros and cons, but basically people just need to be exterminated, and so only the few are left that can handle not acting like fuckwads regardless of the situation. That's my thing. Extermination.
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 Do you ever think a game like BLC will ever grow as an esport?
Bloodline Champions?
Yeah.
That's how popular that's.
Yeah, that's all that really matters. I mean, you can make anything competitive, right? And competitive gaming is just, you know.
Are there Angry Birds tournaments yet? I thought they were doing that.
I'm sure there are somewhere.
Angry Birds tournament. Yeah, hell yeah. Oh, and I run Facebook tournaments? I don't know if you got paid for this shit.
That's not really esports, though. You know, like, leaderboard stuff and single-player games, that's not really esports. I mean, it's a different thing. Especially
Angry Birds. To become a sport, you just need a lot of people watching it, man. That's all a sport is. It's just a lot of people watching something.
Yeah, but there's a competitive aspect between two people, not so much like time runs, you know, I mean, and stuff like that. I mean, I guess, like, even in racing, right? Even when you're racing in the Olympics, you're racing against somebody. Like, all the individual sports, for the most part. Well, okay, so I guess some of the decathlon, like shot put and that sort of thing, is pretty similar. Yeah, okay, that's true. I guess even these kind of games could be esports if it's just done right.
I mean, I'm just saying, it's just how big the audience is whether or not it's a sport or not. Like, what if I had, like, there could be a game where, like, you throw a ball into, like, a basket or whatever, and then other people try to throw the ball into the basket, and they don't even have to do it at the same time. They could do it over the course of several days, and then you could just tally up the score at the end, and, like, that could be a game. And if enough people watched it, do you think that could be a sport? Where people just throw things?
Just throw things? I mean, sure.
Yeah, you just throw something into, like, a basket really far away, and they could do it over the course of a day. They don't have to be on the same time or anything. Do you think that could be...
Well, yeah, I mean, there's that one, I think, what is it, like an African sport or something, where they kick the ball across?
I'm trolling. I'm talking about golf. Like, that's
pretty you're talking about golf? Okay.
I mean, like, it sounds dumb when you explain it like that, but I mean, like, it's kind of what it is, but enough people watch it, so it's considered a sport, right?
I guess. Yeah, no, I mean, it is a sport, for sure. It's just, I mean, there are two people playing side by side, like...
In golf? Not really.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're never playing by themselves, like, literally, like, one at a time.
By themselves, but I don't think in golf you never have, like, two people teeing off at the same time or anything.
I mean, they're in the same group. I mean, they tee off right after each other, and they're walking, you know. Whatever. Golf's a bad example anyways. The examples I gave are better.
Golf's a great example because it's boring as fuck, and no one in their right mind would fucking call it shit a sport. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I'm not being...
Dude, I play golf, man. Golf's fucking hard, man.
I understand golf is hard, there's all the intricacies and shit, but I'm just saying that, like, you have to be really careful on what you call a sport or not a sport, because it's just it's just your audience, you know, like, people laugh at
it. Doesn't even matter what's defined as a sport. I mean, a sport is just who cares?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it doesn't even matter. People are very sensitive about that word. But yeah, Angry Birds, yeah, you can have contests for... I played around with that idea. If you guys, like I mentioned on Climbing the Ladder, I even talked to David Ting about it at one point.
What?
But just, you know, doing some kind of mobile, just giant mobile competition with a big prize. But we never worked it out, unfortunately. I didn't want it to be a live event, and he wanted it to be a live event. So we kind of just disagreed there. So that never happened. But all right, let's take a couple more, and then we'll call it a day. We'll call it a short day. You look tired as fuck, dude.
I'm dead, man. I'm dying. But it's good, because after I sleep, I wake up, I'll be good to go.
Let's see. Okay, question about SEC tournament format. Do you think that has to be changed, or that somehow has to be changed in SEC tournament in order to gain more viewers and make it more popular? Because all tournaments are currently polishing? The same format for 3 years. Do you have any other good ideas to run a tournament? A drastic change, whether it's a good, is a game format or structure, or maybe
I
can't
even
read this.
I would maybe like to see round robin play.
Well, we just saw it in DreamHack, right? Three rounds of group play.
Was it really round robin? Did every single person play every single person?
Oh, of course not. I mean, no. I mean, not like that. But
that's
every
what
single
I
group.
See. The group, what you're talking about is polishing on the bracket format. That's what the guy's talking about. Just taking that bracket format, and you've got groups that feed into a bracket editor. I would like to see, like, some true-ass fucking round-robin shit that eventually feeds into, like, a playoffs kind of thing. I think that would be cool.
So kind of like, well,
so
I mean,
that
everything
would,
breaks it up into division, but more like NASL kind of was, with the big, big divisions, like, with 10-player divisions.
Mean, like,
kinda.
If you have, like, a 64-player invite, and you have, like, a tournament, then every single player in that 64-player invite would play every single other player, and the people that would feed into your brackets at the end would have a very fucking solid hold on wherever they're fed into. So, like, if you've got 16 players invited from those 64, the 16 that make it there fucking earned it. They need to fucking be there, because they played 63 other players, and after all the games, that's what came out. It wasn't that guy got into a lucky bracket and he made that, or that dude was off that day, or that one guy skipped the match so he got to fly there, or that guy got a really hard bracket so he's fucked, or that guy got a really... It's every single fucking player played every single other player, and at the end of that, you tally up all the scores. I think a format like that would lead to very, very solid... It would feed into a bracket very solidly, more so than, like, the random as fuck way that brackets tend to work out sometimes.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting idea. I mean, it's kind of like, I guess, it's a little bit like the NBA where I think every team plays each other, except for if you're in the same conference, you play those teams an extra time. Like, you play those teams in your conference twice versus you only play everybody else, like, one time. Something
for
like...
what?
So in the NBA, right, the way...
You know, I don't know shit about the NBA.
Well, there's two conferences. Just think of it as two conferences. And there's, like, I don't know, I forget, like 16 teams, I think, in each or something like that. And everybody in that conference plays each other once, right? And everybody... You play everybody in the league one time. But everybody in your conference, you play an extra time. So you play those folks twice so that there's still this kind of conference champions, right, that match up at the end. So you'd like to see that type of setup where everybody plays each other once. God, that'd be pretty... That would be so long, though.
Well, you don't have to stream every single game.
Holy shit.
I don't know.
I mean, it would have to be like NASL, like a league that happens every day.
It'd be like a seasonal... Yeah, it'd be like a seasonal or a league kind of thing, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, that would definitely show you who's the best, I think. I mean...
Yeah. I would say, like, I think WCS, that World Championship... I think that would, like, feed really well into something like that, where, like, the finals of the playoffs, like, you get shit kind of like that rolling somewhere. If they could possibly do that, I think it would be very interesting.
Yeah.
Because then you would see, like, the really fucking good players would be really fucking scary. And then the kind of good players wouldn't get lucky and look really good at the end. You would know, like, oh, like, this guy ended up finishing fourth, and his overall record, you know, was, like, he had 27 wins and 22 losses in the season, pretty good. But then you'd have players like Flash, who'd be like, fuck, Flash annihilated the season. He had, you know, he had 61 wins and 3 losses, you know, shit like that.
Right.
Obviously, it would be a lot more playing and shit, but, I mean, look at, they play a lot of games in baseball. How many games do they play in a fucking baseball season, you know?
Yeah, baseball's pretty similar, too. I mean, they play every team, like, a lot. Like,
baseball, yeah,
a lot
baseball's
more,
really,
like...
That's
like
really grueling, their schedule, compared to a lot of other sports. And that's baseball is a lot fucking harder to play than sitting at your computer doing StarCraft, like...
Well, I mean, some of the players don't play every day. Like, the pitchers don't play every day, right? And, but most
okay,
of the players
do. Okay, sure, but I'm sure that
day.
Pitching for one day in baseball is probably a little bit more difficult than
playing for sure.
10 games in StarCraft, too.
For sure. So, in regards to kind of answering his question, in regards to, like, more viewers, I don't actually necessarily think that would be, more entertaining. Like, I still think some of this randomness factor is what adds some appeal to, you know, a situation. Like, we wouldn't have as many of these foreigners.
The randomness factor only
adds
appeal because the players that are winning now are boring as fuck. If I was if I was finishing first or second at tournaments, you wouldn't need a randomness factor because people would love it because I'm fucking vocal as shit. People know me. A lot of people really like me. A lot of people really fucking hate me. You wouldn't need the randomness factor. If the MLG 2014 finals were Destiny versus Day 9, like, how many people would be like, God, I wish there was a no-name randomer, like, in the finals. It would be so much more exciting. You're like, no one would say that. Or if it was, like,
okay, I mean,
or if it was, like, Idra versus TLO, like, nobody would be like, oh, like, God, I wish we had a randomer in here. Like, they'd be like, no, like, holy fuck, like, lots of people love TLO. I don't think anybody hates TLO. Or, like, Grubby versus White Raw, or Grubby versus Nanawa,
I mean,
opposite Protoss personalities.
But, I mean, so what you're saying is just all the good players are just boring people right now. So, I mean, that's
really...
I mean, it has nothing
kind of
to...
Fuck
okay.
I mean,
okay.
Look at how excited people are over, like, the... Is it the Pro League shit where the people are finally starting to talk a little shit? Like, it's way more interesting. It's way more exciting. And then you don't... You don't want that randomness. Like, the fact that people celebrate and love, like, the random stories so much kind of goes to show that, holy fuck, these are some boring fucking players that we have. You know, that's a little bit of a personal opinion, but...
Yeah. I mean, it's a personal theory, but I think a lot of people think that. I mean, a lot of people think that, and a lot of people think it has to do with the production not really focusing on that. Like, the example I gave earlier, right? Like, Nanawa kind of being the focus of the production, and, you know, Leenok just kind of seemed like a robot, as I think is what some of those guys on The Good Show said, which was true. I mean, like, Leenok just seemed, you know, they didn't really make him into a person or an interesting, you know, counterpart in that whole thing, right?
Yeah, that's
you know,
the fault,
like,
that's
I
the
love
fault
Leenok, so,
too.
But
sure.
People watching it, you know, that know nothing about him, probably, you know, had there's nothing to grasp when it came to Leenok. I guess that would be interesting. And for a live event, I mean, you can't do that for a live event, obviously.
No, not the Round Robin, no.
But I think the DreamHack, I kind of really like the DreamHack setup with the open groups into just, like, the group two and the group three, and then into a single elimination ending. I think that was really a good format. I didn't really love the. Me and John were talking about the tiebreaker. Like, I don't think we agree with a tiebreaker there, but because the head to head is not actually the first tiebreaker, it's the second tiebreaker, which is kind of weird. But I think, you know, overall, I felt like it was really cool because we could see a lot of storylines. You know, like each individual group's kind of a mini storyline itself. So gave a lot of chances for cool storylines, and you know, made for a great tournament that way. Okay, one more, and that's it, guys. One more last question, and we'll call it a day. Oh, God, another image. What the fuck? I can't even see this image, though. Okay. When's your next vacation, man?
Dude, I don't take vacations.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, sometimes. I have no idea yet.
Let's see. 58 comments. Really, that's gonna be okay. Here we go. New. I should have somebody looking at these for me. I hate having to look at them.
You should invest like $6,000 a month into paying a person to read the comments. It would be a capital investment. Eventually we'll have 400,000 viewers per episode. Yeah.
Hey, can we start a chip in for that?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, here goes. JamesX88. Hey guys, great show. Random comment question. I absolutely fucking hate Manor Mules. When players BM by dropping mules when they think no they won a game, it makes my blood boil. But for some reason whenever I see Liquitasia do it in a game, I can't help but have a huge smile on my face. He's always smiling and happy. Humble guy even when he loses. Typically he typically has a smile on his face, so seeing a guy like that being that confident BMing just seems awesome. What are your thoughts?
I think that you tend to demonize the people you lose against. You think the worst about the guy you lose against, that he's some grinning fucking asshole who's like laughing hysterically at your misery or something.
Okay, what do you mean?
Like, when you're losing against somebody, you're probably thinking he's, like, some cheap, like, 12-year-old who's like, God, this fucking kid literally just got home from his 7th grade class, and now he's cheesing me on StarCraft, and he's probably calling his 8-year-old friend to scream about it in his creepypasta voice. Oh, wow, and he dropped Manor Mules on me. This kid is definitely a 9-year-old virgin, and the only boob he's ever touched is his mom when he's in the shower, like, because, I don't know, like, you demonize, like, the people you play, you know? Am I the only one that does that?
Yeah, I guess. I'm not sure what that has to do with this question. But.
Well, when you play against people and they beat you, you tend to think really negative.
Yeah, I mean, okay, sure.
You know, like, you get people that get angry or frustrated. Like, I'm pretty sure that's true. Otherwise, people wouldn't rage and go fucking crazy.
Well, I mean, they rage more, I think, because they lost and they just have to take it out on somebody, I think, most of the time. I mean, unless they're BMing you. I mean,
if you're a decent person, you don't. Like, I can play against friends, and if I lose, then, like, whatever. Like, I get upset because I lost, but, like, raging and calling them names. Like, to do that to a stranger, you've got to go, like, into the hardcore demonize your opponent route. And I think that. Yeah? Maybe?
I don't, but I don't know. Maybe you guys do viewers, but I mean, the question is really about what do you think about Manor Mules and just showboating at the end of games?
Well, I thought the question was more like, why is it that I could see Tayshia do it and not feel angry at him, but when other people do it, I get angry? I think showboating is really fucking rude always. Like, I'll do it if the opponent is a piece of shit, but for the most part, I try not to do that. I think it makes you look like a kid. I think it looks really unprofessional. I think it's pretty much the exact same thing as saying, get the fuck out of my game, you piece of shit. I don't think it's cute or funny, but I don't know. Like, in a professional aspect, I could never see myself doing that in a tournament, like, manor muling somebody or, like, building hatcheries and shit. I'll probably do it on a ladder and shit to goof around, but, like, in a tournament, it's, like, hella disrespectful. It would be the equivalent of saying, yo, get the fuck out of my game, you piece of shit. You're such a waste of time right now, and I have to go take a piss, and it's not even worth it for me to stay in this.
Well, that's that's an interesting point, because I think the whole manor mule thing is, like, much more widely accepted as, like, a form of entertainment than it is, you know?
Yeah, but it's just people having their double standards or whatever. I don't I think it's stupid. Like, I get angry, like, if I was in a tournament. But I guess, like, everybody else sees it differently, so I'm just, like, alone on that. But, like, when I see, like, two people in a tournament, and, like, there's, like, the Zerg player starts dancing as units, and the other person's, it's, like, it's rude as fuck. Like, why not just... Because it's funny, because if he were to actually type, like, if Leenok were to type in a game, yo, get the fuck out of my game, you piece of shit. Everybody would freak out. They'd be like, oh my god.
Like,
he
really Idra,
just,
yeah, Idra style.
Oh my god, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you dance your units around and shit, like, that's not VM. It's, like, it's the same fucking thing. But, I mean, I don't know, man. People will be people.
You know, that actually brings up a point. Have you, you know, like, obviously Idra gets a lot of shit for doing stuff like that, right? Just actually typing it out. Have you ever seen Idra dance his units? I don't think I've... Yeah, okay. I don't recall ever seeing him dance his unit, so... yeah, that's true. It's definitely a double standard there. No, like, very much so, I think. But... Idra can't dance, that's true. Alright, guys, well, why don't we call it a day? And, we will, we'll definitely do the tribunal talk, you know, and just kind of policing games and that sort of thing. Or just having the users police their game, I guess, in a way, is a way of putting it. We'll talk some more about that next week. And hopefully something else that we can come up with in the meantime. But, Steven, you want to do shout-outs?
Shout-out to Phoenix for sponsoring me and giving me this pretty mouse. Shout-out to NZXT so that they sponsor me, because I would love that, because their cases are fucking awesome.
NZXT, if you're watching.
Shout out to Chanman's mom for giving us this wonderful host. And that's all I have.
Oh man, she'll appreciate that. My shout outs to all you guys for being patient and late start today, and just all these technical issues we've been having. Big shout out to the guy at Barcraft Apparel. He sent me some glasses and shirts and stuff, so it's pretty cool. Definitely pretty cool. Go check them out, barcraftapparel.com. They sell shirts and all that good stuff there. And VODs are going to be up later tonight at youtube.com/chanmanv. And Wednesday night, Sprites tomorrow night. And Climbing the Ladder on Thursday night with Ryan from Gameheart and Robert Olin from Climbing the Ladder. But that's going to be it from Filter this week. We'll see you later.
Rip in peace.